Tuesday, February 6, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. We talk a lot about distraction and political manipulation, but even more so in the last month, both political discourse and mainstream media coverage has truly devolved into some made-for-TV drama. We see memos and counter-memos, another shutdown vote upcoming, lawsuits, accusations, nothing of substance. I mean, sure, proving corruption is important, but is that not already wildly evident, something we've continued to talk about? It seems this is more of a way to keep the political flinging of mud ongoing. As long as one side has a different story, their blind followers will stand with them, while real national and world events go completely unacknowledged. But sadly, even I am getting tired of saying that, but many are so caught up with this two-party deception that they either cannot or choose not to hear it, as it is much easier to simply sit back and be told what to think. But for those of you choosing to think for yourselves and that are able to see past this juvenile political game, let's see what the others are missing. First, a quick note on a story that I tweeted out today with the hashtag False Flag Watch. Interesting story is entitled 900 Soldiers Deployed After Neurovirus Outbreak in the Winter Olympics. Now, as right now, this is something that is really just being reported as something that happened. No outlandish accusations or trying to saddle this with North Korea specifically, which is kind of what I had expected. But this is interesting. This is something that may end up being nothing. It may just be a random event. This is something that we've seen, interestingly, in past events at Olympics where these kind of outbreaks have happened, which is neither here nor there, but it's interesting. But this is something we should keep an eye on because I have the intuition here, the feeling that this is going to be somehow, you know, labeled as a North Korean act. So keep your eyes open on that. Now, as I missed yesterday for many reasons, not least of which was I was so slightly under the weather, maybe just kind of sick of all these childish ploys, but I'll try to catch up today with the last 2 days. And first of all, in regard to cryptocurrency, there's a few relevant stories that are worth noting on here. First, coming out of Zero Hedge, an interview with India's three largest crypto exchanges, ban rumors are false. Now, the title says it all right there. It's very interesting to know that, many of the drops recently were attributed to the idea that India was speaking out about banning crypto exchanges. Not surprisingly, it turns out those were completely false rumors. Now, the real question is where those rumors came from. I would argue it came from some kind of government effort to destroy this movement. That's my opinion. I think it would be pretty hard for some random person to push this story. I mean, the media spread this story. Clearly, this was some kind of an effort, but it's very revealing to find out that all of the three largest exchanges in India all came out and said, those rumors are completely false. We had no intention of doing that. So just another quick note there is we need to stop reacting to these kind of things. Like we've said, this is not going away. This is something that's going to continue to happen because they cannot control it. The next story coming out of coinivore.com, market spirals as three major U.S. banks ban credit card purchases of cryptocurrency. Now, this is interesting because this is really happening, but this is something that shouldn't surprise us. I actually think it's probably a positive thing because this movement in its essence is supposed to be getting away from the interaction of the banks and using credit cards and that sort of thing. But their logic behind this was that it was, first of all, that it was volatile, which is funny because it's mostly volatile because of these kinds of statements and actions. But that they're claiming it's to do with money laundering, which to me is the absurd joke of the century that banks like Bank of America are speaking out about money laundering for cryptocurrency, which is something we can verifiably show has happened with these banking institutions, and they're just absurd corruption and manipulation. And yet they're now pointing at cryptocurrency as something we should be afraid of. And somebody else has made the point, many people have made this point, that specifically right now, things like Bitcoin, which just seems to be the focus for most of this, is very trackable. It's all public right now. You can go and look up any transaction that takes place. And so the idea of money laundering is kind of a joke, because if something was really happening, it's very easy to find out. Yet it's not the same with fiat currency and their banking institutions. So this is very clearly another attempt to drop the markets. And I continue to think it's not just to break the idea of this in general, as I mean, they clearly would stop this if they could. I think it's to drop the markets so they can swoop in and buy up everything they can, in a further attempt to control the market. And the last story, also coming out of coinofwar.com, US SEC and CFTC are open to regulation of cryptocurrency exchanges, which again is the last point I wanted to make, which I think that's also the motivation here. Not just to buy up all the cryptocurrency, but to make sure it looks volatile, make sure that there's its fluctuations and all these accusations of crime for the exact purpose so they can swoop in and have a justification to try to regulate the market, which not only gives them more control, it basically just does away with everything this is about, which is decentralization peer-to-peer. We don't need the government manipulation involved in these in this market. I mean, that we've seen what it does in everything else. I mean, it opens the door to corruption and manipulation by these very fraudulent and corrupt organizations. So it's something we cannot allow it to happen. So I think this is probably the largest reason we've seen all of this volatile actions and statements coming out trying to manipulate the market so they can swoop right in and say, oh, we need to regulate this for everyone's safety, which is kind of a classic problem reaction solution scenario here, the Hegelian dialectic, where they create the problem, they wait for the reaction of everybody to be upset, and they swoop in with the solution. Very classic. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, something we covered yesterday. Over two dozen teen gymnasts molested by Larry Nassar while FBI sat on the case. And this is something we've covered quite extensively on The Last American Vagabond, but this story in its essence is just, it just really gets cuts to the core of the issue here. It's something, I mean, this guy is a monster in my opinion. And it's, I mean, the judge, he's been sentenced to over 300 combined years at this point of criminal time here because of all these different actions. But now what we're seeing here is that the FBI sat on this case for over a year while this continued to happen. I mean, we could speculate on why that is. I mean, there's a lot of nefarious reasons we could get to, and we've written about these corrupt circles within the government and positions of high power where these occult circles, where these things are allowed to take place. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation, but the bottom line is that the FBI allowed this to happen while over two dozen girls were continued to be molested. I mean, there is no explanation for that. They have an obligation to step in, to stop these things from happening, yet they didn't. I mean, that just has to resonate with you for a minute. And even to understand with all of the things flying around about the FBI, this just is a cherry on top of all of their corruption. And it's something that we need to continue to talk about because this just disgusts me. Moving on to the next story coming out of the dailysheeple.com, thousands of jobs in Ohio are left unfilled because people can't pass a drug test. And this is one that essentially we've covered quite a bit, but this is specifically tying to the opiate epidemic in all of these states, where right now there are so many opiates flying around. Again, in the midst of some kind of, as the government feigns to try to be stopping this, to try to stop this thing from happening, when in reality we've shown in multiple shows that they are directly tied to the rise of the opiate epidemic and the opium from Afghanistan and all the different connections to the U.S. government and the intelligence agencies specifically. But we're seeing things like this rise where these, literally in these states, there have jobs, the thousands of jobs that can't be filled because there are so many people addicted, almost unaware that they're addicted to these opiates because they're being prescribed. A lot of people are so blind to the idea that because, oh, well, a doctor gave it to me, so it's okay. So, you know, I am allowed to have this and I need it, but they don't. And so a lot of these people have been taking these drugs for so long, whether it be for pain or for any number of reasons, and are not even fully aware yet that they are wildly addicted to these things because they take them so regularly. So all of a sudden, if it were to stop, they would realize they're heavily addicted. But the problem here now is that they're not passing these drug tests because everyone's addicted. And I mean, that's just something that has to stand out to us. I mean, we've made the comment before about how many pills are given to these small towns. We've seen these pill mills where they're literally prescribing more pills than people in these states. Whether or not those pills are being, you know, passed out to other places and being filtered into other states, the point is that that is happening. And that is amazingly unscrupulous. It's amazingly corrupt. I mean, there's so many different things we have to point out here, but this needs to stand out to us. And we need to continue to call attention to it. And we need to be able to realize this is a government thing. This is not a people thing. This is coming from the top. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com. Trump attorneys approve second special counsel to probe FBI and DOJ. I mean, this one, so to probe for what? The crimes that we are already aware of, the crimes that have already been exposed. I mean, this is an ongoing political show. I mean, I don't want to come out and say that another probe is a bad thing. Yes, continue to investigate, but these probes are almost like a distraction in a way where we're saying, okay, well, we've verified that there's corruption. We can see the corruption. We have crimes right in front of us. So now we're going to start a probe to carry on a year-long investigation to what? Discover that there were crimes that are right in front of us? I mean, it's ridiculous. We saw the same thing with the Hillary Clinton incident where probes and investigations that never amounted to anything. Meanwhile, people kind of relaxed and said, oh, good, well, she's under investigation. We can move on. But nothing ever came of it. Again, accountability. I mean, it's something we've continued to dwell on. The idea that these things continue to happen, we have crimes right in front of us, verifiable crimes, but yet no one is being held accountable. So really, this just stands out as a wild joke to me. I mean, with all we have in front of us right now, there should be actual repercussions happening, not more investigation. I mean, both possibly, but absolutely repercussions, accountability, people going to jail. And it's just simply not happening. I mean, maybe it will. I'm not going to say it won't ever happen, but we have to see how it hasn't been happening. These things have been continuing to go on and no one is being held accountable. That has to stand out. Next story coming out of the dailysheeple.com. BPA hormone disruptor found in 86% of teenagers' digestive tracts. A recent study has discovered that nearly all teenagers are testing positive for BPAs in their intestinal lining. The chemical that makes plastic stronger and more flexible was found in higher amounts in teenagers than in the general public, causing major concern since the hormone-disrupting toxin can affect the reproductive system. I mean, this is just profound in my opinion. We just reported on the idea of the Kenyan president accusing pharma company of intentionally sterilizing 500,000 young women in Africa using a vaccine. And as I just said, it wouldn't surprise me if the same thing were in our water, in our air. Maybe I wasn't too far off. Are we uncovering a literal depopulation effort taking place here? A eugenics-based thinning of the herd? I mean, this is speculation, but man, what we're seeing here is all kinds of things taking place across the board where we're seeing ultimately depopulation, thinning, where people are being sterilized and reproductive efforts are being stifled. I mean, that's something that is very, very alarming. And the fact that it's specifically to a certain demographic here, I mean, teenagers specifically, but my point is that it's something that is very specifically associated with a lower demographic. So I would say this seems like a pretty obvious attempt to thin the herd in certain places. That's just my opinion. But with seeing that thing that just happened in Kenya, I mean, it's beginning to stand out that we're seeing what they've been talking about for many, many years is actually taking place all around us, and we're not even aware of it. That's pretty shocking. Moving on to the next story coming out of theactivistpost.com. Trump administration to test biometric program to scan faces of drivers and passengers in vehicles. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection is preparing to launch a pilot program to scan the faces of drivers and passengers in Texas, reminiscent of mass surveillance systems established in Russia and China. The truth of the matter is that all three nations are taking different paths toward the same goal: control and monitoring of their population and suppression of critical thought or opposition. It's a great article by Derek Brose, and it ties into one he recently put out that we also covered, the scanning of license plates. I mean, all of this authoritarian actions are happening all across the country under the guise of security, as it always is. And it's something that is not only unconstitutional, but it has to start, we have to start to realize this is less about protection from the outside and more about oppression on the inside and keeping us under control. I mean, it's very alarming. I mean, this is very alarming and very authoritarian, but so many people are blind to it because they want to believe this is being done for the right reasons. I mean, it's, you know, the classic line that the path to hell is paved with good intentions, but I would argue that this is not about good intentions. I think this is doing exactly what they want it to do, which is keep track of all of us and keep track of everything, which, I mean, so many different studies have shown that mass surveillance doesn't actually do anything until they want it to. It doesn't stop any kind of terrorist act because there's so much information flooding in, they don't even know where to look. So that makes the argument that it's not about stopping those kind of actions. It's about having mass information on its population to do with whatever they see fit. And that is very alarming. There's a couple of other corresponding stories also coming out of the Activist Post. One is your mobile phone can give away your location even if you tell it not to. This is really talking about the different apps you have on your phone and the different location type things that are taking place, but whether you realize it or not, you can turn off your tracking on your phone, but ultimately what this is talking about is that even when you do that, there are so many different ways in place for the tracking to continue. There was a recent interesting article that came out talking about how there was this workout app that essentially ended up revealing all these secret bases around the world for military, because you could see where they were running on this app. It gave away these secret locations in Syria and different places, so it kind of backfired for the military. But the point is, these tracking things are in place, whether or not you realize it. I mean, there's so much more going on than we're even aware of, and that's pretty alarming. The final one is, law enforcement can use smart meter parking apps to spy on everyone. So again, it just shows you that these things that are being put in place all around us for under some other guise, whether it's security, safety, convenience, it doesn't matter. But what they're doing with these is ultimately tracking everything. Where you park, where you move. I mean, we've talked about the tracking idea so many different times, but all around us, this is building up, and it's something that is not even being recognized for what it truly is. And it's just very authoritarian. These steps have been, we've been documenting this on the show more than once, but it's something that people are ignoring for whatever reason. And I truly think most of it today is under this idea that it's being done for the right reasons, to stop the wrong people. But that's just very naive. Understanding our own history in this country, that is very, very naive. We have to begin to recognize the truth of these actions. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Pentagon auditor can't account for $800 million in spending. The Pentagon's Defense Logistics Agency has reportedly lost track of hundreds of millions of dollars it spent, said Ernst & Young and the accounting firm conducting the first ever Pentagon audit. E&Y discovered that DLA failed to properly document more than $800 million in construction projects, which also reported this is just one of the many instances where millions of dollars went missing as the accountability system inside the Pentagon is broken. Worse, according to Politico, the first ever audit covering the fiscal year that ended September 30th, 2016, signals complete incompetence about how the Pentagon handles its $700 billion annual budget. And this story is interesting. This was actually sent to me by my uncle, a former police captain, retired now, but I found it interesting that I hadn't even seen this story. It's something that I told him, I was shocked, but it's something that we've seen more than once. We reported recently on the $800 million in missing helicopters or the $21 trillion in mysterious items. It's something, you know, this is all coming from the Pentagon. It's almost like this has continued to stack. And like we said, no one is being held accountable. We've been seeing this happen for so very long. We've talked about the incident right before 9/11, where they admitted the same thing, where trillions of dollars weren't accounted for. And then 9/11 happened and everybody forgot about it. So this is again happening. And yet it seems like it's like, oh, we're shocked. And then nothing happens. It just blows me away. I mean, I was shocked that I didn't even hear about this story until he brought it to my attention. It's something that is ongoing. This gross, gross unaccountability and the type of money we're talking about, $21 trillion or $700 billion or $800 million, all brought together. The point that I always bring up around this is the idea that the UN has more than once said all it would take to end world hunger is $30 billion, yet we're spending $21 trillion on mysterious items. I mean, it just really goes to show you what the real intentions are. It's not about helping people. It never has been. So to end here, I feel obligated to ask, are all of the recent revelations of deep-seated corruption intentional to sort of normalize the idea of corruption to some degree? When is the last time we actually saw someone in a high position of power really held accountable for their crimes? I mean, there are some, such as Dennis Hastert, but I would argue that was far too exposed, and he received a relative slap on the wrist for extremely sinister crimes, serving only 13 months of a 15-month sentence for the perpetual and long-term violation of children. The judge openly called him a serial child molester. Yet we have people in this country right now serving 20 years for the possession of marijuana. With all the major corruption that is being revealed, we must take note that no one is actually being arrested or facing any real repercussions. That is the biggest ongoing story in my mind. And despite all the over-the-top claims about the FISA memo, it is now day 4, and no one has been held accountable. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.